Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Titans running back Deontay Foreman coming up at 7:15. So looking forward to that conversation here in about 10 minutes. Taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, should have went after Elijah Moore in the draft and used money spent on Julio for a tight end.
I mean, I think you can make a case that you should have drafted a receiver and tight end high in the draft.
Sure.
You could have done that. You know, it wasn't a great tight end draft, but those were needs, and obviously first and second round pick are not helping. All those things, when something like this happens, a Julio injury after you invested what you did in him, it kind of brings it back to, boy, there could be some young draft picks right now helping you who aren't.
Tinfoil hat texter, as you've named this person.
Possibly Jared's burner.
Yes. Put NWI out there at the number two spot and let Julio, quote, heal. So get Nick Westbrook-Akina out there at number two. I bet he makes some big plays on Sunday.
Let Julio, quote unquote, heal.
Yeah.
Heal his diabolical plan.
Yes. Hey, NWI, man.
He makes plays.
You're looking smarter as every week goes on.
Again, I didn't.
When
it
you
wasn't
said
my,
that he was going to be the best player on the team,
yeah,
I'm just going to keep adding to this.
When I said his Hall of Fame push starts now, yeah. Like, hey, I had no analysis. I was as surprised as anybody else when I heard that Nick Westbrook-Akina was absolutely loved in the building. But
see, you need
here
to,
we are.
No, you need to ramp this up a little bit. You need to fully embrace what people said you said at the time.
Yeah.
Because now you're looking pretty smart.
Yeah, that's true. And there's certainly plenty of columns I can show you where I look pretty dumb now. So you gotta really grab onto the ones that make you look smart.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Let's get back to what the team needs to do moving forward here. So let's say Julio's not in there on Sunday. We'll do that, Ron.
There you go, Ron. Move forward.
How
right?
do you move the ball on Sunday? Against, by the way, still a pretty good Saints defense. If Julio Jones isn't available, obviously no Derrick Henry, how do you move the ball coming up on Sunday? Is it just going to be the – hey, we're going to target A.J. Brown 21 times in this game, show?
Well, you got to have some balance. You got to be able to run it, and it's a tough team to run on. I mean, like it's like the best rush D in the NFL, so
yeah.
it's not great. But I think you have to take a step forward in that way somehow in this game with those guys. Maybe with the guy we're about to talk to, Deontay Foreman, maybe him getting more carries. I don't know how that looks, you know, in terms of the three backs and how they're deployed, but. You got to have some balance. Yeah, you got to get the ball to A.J. Brown. And then I still think one guy who I swear has the capability to make a difference and hasn't really yet is Marcus Johnson. Because Nick Westbrook-Akina, he's solid. He'll make some plays for you. I still think Marcus Johnson a little bit more fluid, a little bit faster, and a guy who – In light of what happened yesterday, to me becomes more important because Chester Rogers he can move the chains for you, he can make some plays for you. The tight ends are who they are. I mean, when they get opportunities, they've been fine. But Marcus Johnson would be. I mean, think of all the other like we thought maybe you know Darrington Evans this year was going to end up being this new dimension. Well, that's out, and Julio Jones for the time being, I think, and maybe for a little while, is out. And the tight ends haven't done, you know, I mean, Anthony Firkser, that will be another called shot. I'll tell you that right now.
There you go.
He'll score a touchdown in this game. But Marcus Johnson is a guy who I think has been under, I don't know if he's been underutilized, but he just, it hasn't been there yet. The production hasn't been there. I think it's possible. So that would be one possible answer. That might be my number one answer this week is if you can get him going a little bit on the other side or however they line up, take a little bit of heat off A.J. Brown, take advantage of the coverage on A.J. Brown. He'd be a guy I'd look at.
Still be nice to get A.J. Brown. Like, I'm still waiting for the A.J. Brown short catch and break like six tackles on his way to the end zone. this year. We'll see if we can see that at some point. I'm never going to live down the Ravens game from last year where he just carried the entire team into the end zone. So we're going to keep going with that.
That's right.
That's the expectation now every game.
With a bad knee, by the way. Yep. Like in the same game where he was like limping to the sideline, and then he just puts a defense on his back.
Got a text that says, how we move the ball is you fake punt it and let Brett Kern throw it for a first down. They do need to utilize Brett Kern a little bit more. He's been, you know, underrated the last couple of weeks. Has the punt, pins him deep down in there. They get after Stafford, the interception. Brett Kern changing the game the last couple of weeks.
Which
Carson Wentz?
Menacing Saints defender can Brett Kern fake out of their shoes on Sunday? or just truck. Who knows?
One of the two.
He's very versatile. But in all seriousness, we haven't seen a fake in a while. I know they work on fakes.
Yeah.
Watch out. This is type of game. You know, you're going against good D. You're kind of limited on offense. You feel like you need a little bit of a jolt. I think Vrabel likes that stuff.
Speaking of jolt, maybe you'll see one from Deontay Foreman coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Saints. We will discuss the matchup against the Saints coming up next with Titans running back Deontay Foreman. That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week, a $30 gift card for only $15 to the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Your favorite community coffee and tea shop offering a variety of coffee flavors and shine-worthy teas. The Beanbag is a great place to have a meeting while sipping on a cup of hot or cold coffee or tea. And you can also enjoy a delicious breakfast sandwich, cheddar broccoli soup, turkey sandwiches, and more. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. We are talking Titans, looking ahead to the big matchup coming up on Sunday against the Saints. Going to be joined here in just a few seconds by Titans running back Deontay Foreman. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Certainly going to be an interesting game, a difficult game to try to run the ball against this Saints defense. But Foreman, a guy that should play a big factor in that coming up on Sunday. And with that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans running back Deontay Foreman. Deontay, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Yes, I'm good. How you doing?
We're great. We appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Deontay, just to start with, what have these last couple of weeks been like for you as you're coming back in here to Nashville, getting back in here with this team and trying to establish, I guess, your role with this group? What have the last couple of weeks been like for you?
It's been fun, you know, just getting back in the building and just getting back to, you know, being able to have an opportunity to play ball has been great. And, you know, I'm just trying to cherish every moment and just try to do what I can do to help this football team. I mean, these guys have been putting in a lot of work and they started the season off really good. So, you know, I'm just trying to come in here and contribute and just do what I can do to help.
How much did it help, Deontay, that you were here last year, that you were able to play some, had some success too? And I know even going to Atlanta, you're in a similar, you know, I guess basically you could call it the same offense, very similar offense, and then you come in here. How helpful is it? How quickly, you know, do things register when you come back? Was there any sort of, you know, rust or I guess familiarizing yourself process last week to get up to speed?
I mean, it was definitely some rust, you know, just when you take time off like that, you know, it's definitely going to be rust when you come back. But the terminology, a lot of it was, you know, still the same. And so, you know, I just had to memorize a lot of stuff and, you know, and just go back over my notes. But it wasn't too hard, honestly, you know. Like I said, I was here last year, and then also in Atlanta, the terminology was, you know, a lot of the same stuff too. So I think it played in my favor a lot, you know, just saying that I was here last year and also being in Atlanta, coming back, you know, I feel like I was able to pick up things pretty well.
Deontay, how did you feel after the game on Sunday? 5 carries, 29 yards, 5.8 per carry. How did you feel physically after the game, and do you anticipate that maybe your role could continue to grow here in this offense?
I felt really good, honestly. My body felt good. And, you know, honestly, I'm just trying to do what I can do. You know, and just be as productive as I can be. Whatever, you know, my role is going to be, that'll be up to the coaches and whatever they feel like would be best for the team. And like I said, whatever they ask me to do, I'm willing to do. And I just want to be as productive as possible when I do it.
What is it? So take us through, you know, the day that you sign, that you sign with the Titans. I know, I mean, Adrian Peterson, I think, said that actually he didn't know about the Derrick Henry injury until after he was, I think, was on the plane, I think is what he said, or he was on his way traveling here, and then he saw it, like, on Twitter or something, like, oh, okay, now I see. like, how did it go with you? Like, did you know about the Derrick Henry injury first? Did you anticipate when you heard that maybe you would get a call? Like, how did it all break down in terms of the contact from them and the whirlwind of coming into Nashville?
Well, it was my agent texted me, and he basically just told me that Tennessee would fly me back in for a workout. And then later on in the messages, when I was just asking him about everything, about, you know, what day and everything, getting all the information about it, that's when he told me that Derrick possibly had an injury. So I didn't really know the severity of the injury. I didn't know anything, you know, about exactly what was going on, but he did tell me that he possibly had an injury. So, you know, I just knew that much pretty much. And by the time I made it here to Tennessee, that's when, you know, I wound up seeing everything.
Titans running back Deontay Foreman on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Deontay, obviously you're here. You're joining a team that's 7-2. You're in first place in the AFC right now. What do you make of the opportunity that you have for your career and that you guys have as a team so far this season, going 7-2?
I mean, it's great, you know, just being back and just getting on a team that, you know, like I said, being here last year and just seeing all the hard work that these guys put in, and then, you know, me paying attention just through the course of this season before I was able to get back, and just seeing how much these guys were putting in, you know, work and the way they were playing these games and, you know, finishing and being, you know, just, you know, dogs out there, really, you know. I just felt, you know, so good just to get an opportunity to come back and just compete with these guys again. You know, my teammates are really cool, and the coaching staff, everybody, you know, really good energy every day. I just like being in this building. So, you know, I knew getting that call and getting back in here, I just wanted to come and help in any way I could.
So we've got the Red River Rivalry backfield here, right? You and Adrian Peterson. So you are from, I've never heard of Texas City, but you're a Texas guy. I'm thinking you played at Texas. You're from Texas City, Texas. So I'm assuming you grew up also rooting for the Longhorns.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Yes, sir.
But you probably also enjoyed watching Adrian Peterson run the ball for Oklahoma. I mean, I've heard that from a lot of guys in the last, you know, week, is like talking to Adrian, like, hey, you know, I grew up watching you, or, you know, watch your games all the time. It's what was it like for you, first of all, as a young kid watching him play, and what has it been like so far now teaming up with him?
Watching him play as a kid was great. You know, he was a guy that I really looked up to. And when I first met him, which is when I got into the building not too long ago, last week, you know, that was my first time ever meeting him. And I expressed to him, you know, that I had grew up watching him and I looked up to his game, and, you know, also that I just wanted to just soak up as much information as I could from him. And he's been great, man, a great mentor. You know, every question I have for him, he pretty much has an answer for me. And then also he just comes and tells me, you know, certain stuff and little tips that I could do here and there just to keep my body more, you know, in shape, or just, you know, just taking care of my body. And also just any pointers that we see on the field, I think we've had a great way of communicating, you know, on and off the field. So it's been great.
So, Deontay, changing the number to number 7, what's the significance behind number 7 to you?
That was my number in high school, and it's really just my favorite number. It's a number that I just always love, number 7. And, you know, I've been trying to get back in that number for a really long time. In college, I wasn't able to wear 7. So, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, I knew I wanted to grab it. And, you know, it was a blessing that I was able to get it.
So, looking at your career, Deontay, I mean, I remember certainly watching you a lot when you ran for Texas. I mean, you've been with, you know, third round to the Texans, Colts, you know, Titans, Falcons, and now back here. When teams have moved on from you, has there been a consistent, you know, piece of advice or anything like, hey, work on this a little bit more, or anything like, what kind of feedback have you gotten from teams as you've bounced around here?
I mean, to be honest, I haven't really gotten a lot of, you know, feedback. It would just be like, just keep working, make sure you stay in shape, you know, opportunity could present itself at any time, you know, and just keep working. And, you know, just hearing those words is something that I just want to keep working. I always feel like, you know, that an opportunity will present itself if I kept working and kept myself in shape and stay ready for the opportunity. So that was just my mindset, is just stay ready so I don't have to get ready. And, you know, the call came, and, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to capitalize on this moment, capitalize on this opportunity, and just do what I can do to help the football team, man. You know, I'm excited to be here. Last year I was excited to get that call, and, you know, when I felt like at some points that I didn't know, definitely last year going into after everything with COVID, I didn't know if I was going to get a call, and everything was really shaky, and, you know, so Tennessee trusted me to come in here and, you know, give me that opportunity, and I just hit the ground running, and I never looked back. And, you know, with everything, with all the business and everything that goes into this, you know, I understood it. So they didn't really tell me anything. I just didn't sign back here. And like I said, I just wanted to stay ready for any opportunity. And, you know, thank God that it was here again, because I enjoyed everything about being here. So just trying to cherish it, man.
Deontay, what stands out to you about this Saints defense that you'll be going up against on Sunday, and specifically that front that you'll be running against?
Man, they got a great front, great players. They fly to the ball. Everybody's out there trying to hit, you know, and they're just a grimy defense, you know what I mean? So it's definitely going to be some grimy runs, some tough runs in there. But, you know, I'm ready for the challenge, and, you know, I'm ready to go out there and see how we do.
Tight running back Deontay Foreman has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Deontay, welcome back to town. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck coming up on Sunday against the Saints.
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Deontay Foreman, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Hey, I mean, you look pretty good the other day. You're talking about coming off the street. You've not been in this system all year long. I know he was here last year, and certainly that helps. But, you know, he had 5 carries, very limited action on Sunday. 29 yards, 5.8 a carry, and, you know, we talked about this on Monday. He was a slip away from maybe breaking a big one on Sunday night against the Rams. I'm interested to see what he looks like and how he does as this team moves forward. I mean, look, nobody's going to confuse Deontay Foreman for Derrick Henry out there, but I do enjoy watching him run the ball. He's a very physical back.
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits in perfectly with how they like to play. That's kind of what I was getting at with the question. Is like, okay, at Texas he was great. You know, we haven't had a lot of chance to watch him in the NFL. He's bounced around and stuff, but whenever I've seen him play, I'm like, well, that's an NFL running back.
Yeah,
I don't totally understand why he wouldn't be in the league already as someone's second or third back based on what we've seen of him. But credit to him, you know, that he has stayed in shape and stayed ready. And that probably isn't easy, right, when you just don't know and there's uncertainty and you're just hoping for a call. But it looks like he was ready, and he's got a heck of an opportunity here. Because I think, yeah, it's just so hard to know how the carry is going to be distributed. I mean, I think Adrian Peterson could probably be a lot better than he was last week. But I feel like Deontay Foreman warranted more work based on that workload, you know, 5 carries against the Rams. He looked good.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Minnesota Vikings at the L.A. Chargers with a 3:05 kickoff on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie, Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our good friend Bob on Twitter says, his daughter Kate says, Robbie's good. Give Kate a holler. We're in the car in line at school. Kate, I appreciate you. I'll send you a check in the mail.
Hey, Kate.
Hope you have a good day at school.
What's up, Kate? She said very nice things about us.
That's right.
Appreciate that.
There are some people on Twitter and on a text line that don't say very nice things about us.
You help balance it out.
That's right. Caleb texting in, how much of McNichols' struggles were from the Rams' defensive line, and how much of it is maybe from the pressure he put on himself? Should the Titans try Sargent out and see if he's up to the task? Well, they no longer have
him. Sargent's long gone.
Yeah, Sargent is with the Rams.
He's just the Rams practice squad.
I just, you know, as far as McNichols is concerned, I would anticipate as Peterson gets more comfortable and as Foreman kind of establishes himself a little bit more, I don't know that you're going to see a ton of carries from McNichols. I think the role that he was in when Derrick Henry was healthy is a pretty good role for Jeremy McNichols. And, you know, I think, as you said, Peterson's going to get better and Foreman will get more carries as they move forward here. I would assume McNichols, from a carry standpoint, his workload goes down. Now, he'll still get it some, but I would assume that goes down as they move forward.
I would think so, too. I mean, he's got some speed, so that's a nice element to have. It's just what you want is one person, you know, more than one's fine, too. But, you know, you want someone to emerge and get into a little bit of a, you know, get hot a little bit and be like, okay, we've got to give that guy the ball. But, yeah, I feel like McNichols was always – it was going to be more carries for him in the first game because those guys were brand new, and as time goes on, probably just be the McNichols role. That's what I would expect as long as these guys play well.
Heidi from Dixon texting in.
Uh-oh.
Wow, Joey brought the heat in that segment. Basically asked the fellow, what did teams tell you you sucked at when they fired you? Spicy.
What? Darn it, Heidi. You got me so flustered. No, but, I mean, because it's confusing to me.
It was actually a compliment.
Yeah, like, you. Oh, right. I mean, that's what I was trying to be, a compliment.
At least that's
like,
what I thought.
I feel like you're good at football. Why are you not in the NFL? You know?
Yeah.
Wait, did you just mute yourself and mean to say something, Michelle Perry? No? Okay.
No, I was just, I was zoned out for a second and didn't know what you're talking about, and then I was like, oh, I got it. So, like, I was talking to myself.
She's not listening to us.
No, I am.
She's in there like, you're only out. She's yelling at herself in the booth. No, I wasn't trying to rip him. I was saying, what's your understanding? We were talking to her in the break. Robbie and I talking to her in the break, and Robbie, good point. You know, in the NFL today, there's obviously a premium put on guys who are pass catchers out of the backfield, and more backs fit that profile. But there's still room for the power back in the NFL, and I just – In what I've seen, and certainly this is also informed by his career at Texas, which was great. He was great at Texas. That's why he was a third-round pick. Man, every time I've watched him play football, I feel like he's certainly good enough to be somewhere in this league as someone's power back. And he wasn't in the league, which just confuses me. But he's here now.
He is here now.
So sorry, Heidi. Wasn't trying to bring the heat on anybody. You still owe me a pedicure.
We can't get through a Titans player interview anymore without somebody taking a shot at you.
You can't get through much.
Whether it's David Long or Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, now Foreman.
Yeah, I still haven't gone back and listened to the awkwardness of the Nick Westbrook-Ikhina interview, but what a special moment that was.
Great moment in the history of this show. let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a texter that says, Terrell on the text line, will the running game be better with Davis and Lawan playing? How many yards against the Saints would be a success in the running game? Good questions.
If you can get 100 yards, huge success in this game.
Total.
If you can get 80.
As rushing, total.
Oh,
yeah. Not offense, say, total.
Yeah, total. No, total. I mean, if you can get 80 yards in this game, that's okay.
If you get 100 yards total offense, it's probably not going to go
well. That
might
not be good. You're gonna need Kevin Byard to score like 3 touchdowns. But yeah, like 100 yards as a team. I mean, honestly, in the NFL anymore, that's a good number on a given Sunday. So tough sledding against those guys. I mean, I feel like both offenses are at a disadvantage going into this game, especially whether Kamara plays or not. You know, Kamara is probably going to be limited to some extent. And I understand that Trevor Siemian played well. Look, maybe Trevor Siemian will come in here and say, Logan Woodside, what?
That's right.
And just light the Titans up. But I got my questions about him. And then don't even start on Taysom Hill. I know Taysom Hill.
Can't wait to see him score a touchdown on Sunday.
I know. He's going to have like some crazy like 60-yard run where he blasts through like five tackles.
If Taysom Hill and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina score a touchdown in the same day, and then you factor in maybe Anthony Firkser or two, you're going to be here Monday? Like, what's going to happen?
I mean, so much, so many things. I don't know. It's just probably too much. It's a mental overload.
It is. Speaking of mental overload, what do you think of OBJ signing with the Rams? Signs the 1 year deal. I think it's up to like $4.5 million with the Rams. You know, we said yesterday the reports were it's down to the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Saints. And then he ends up in LA, and indications are that was kind of his plan the whole time.
I don't hate it for the Rams. One thing I thought the other night, I mean, the story of the game was the Titans just winning up front, in the front four, taking Matthew Stafford to the ground all night. But I did think watching, because the Titans did a really good job. They had obviously a lot of attention for Cooper Kupp and those crossing patterns. And, you know, Robert Woods got free a couple times. But I did watch that offense and think, like, gosh, they need another person outside. You know, DeSean Jackson was kind of the plan there, and that didn't work out. And I like it. I mean, it's all about, for him, I mean, it's trying to get a ring. I don't think he's going to come in there and say, Kupp and Woods, step aside. I'm the guy. You know, I think there's been a certain amount of humbling here, especially with all the talk about, I mean, it's backed up by facts about how better the Browns are when he actually doesn't play. So I like it. I like it for the Rams. I like it better than Cam to the Panthers, which is just weird. But, hey, whatever. Give it a shot.
He might make $10 million.
That's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, it's QB in this league now.
Yeah.
That's nothing. But still, yeah, that's a lot for – who knows? Maybe Cam is – it's interesting because it's the same franchise, but, of course, it's an offense he's never been in, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's a totally different scheme and all that.
Well, they're done, just seems though. Like they're not a factor. The Panthers.
The thing is, though, they are technically a factor. So I guess this is the best Hail Mary they could come up with at the position. I mean, I guess. Well, I mean, I guess what else would you, if you're them saying, you know what, in this NFC, we actually could be a wild card this year. And also, we're not going to say this out loud, but Darnold has been terrible. And if we could just have like competent quarterbacking who doesn't have terrible turnovers, we might actually have a good enough team to do it.
Get our fans excited about something.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, there's certainly a Barnum and Bailey element to it where it's just like try to get some more butts in the seats. But if you're looking at just like a Hail Mary to try to pick someone up at that position, what would be better than him? I don't think it's going to work out because I think that he's physically not – I think his shoulder is just never going to be back. But what would be better?
I don't know. Hey, I'm interested to see how it goes. Look, you asked Keyshawn Johnson. You got the Panthers going to the Super Bowl now? Like, what's going to happen?
A new favorite in the NFC.
Cam Newton, a top 10 quarterback in the league. I think, in fairness to him, he did say 12. But Cam Newton, a top 12 quarterback in the league before the season started. That one aged well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least he's not dirty like the guy who just played against the Panthers.
Well, there is that. There is that. Who beat out Cam Newton?
Man. I mean, I have to look at him all day. Look at him.
Mac Jones.
Look at that fake
just
smile.
Just twist my ankle, why
yeah,
don't
look
you?
At that fake smile, tripping people.
Do you think that OBJ makes any sort of long-term difference in the NFC in terms of, like, do you view the Rams as any more of a factor, any more of a favorite in the NFC now with him than you did without him? Because I don't.
Well, I mean, I still think the Von Miller pickup is a big deal
than
that. So I'm interested to see Von Miller now on that defense. And, you know, it's – I just think as long as Beckham is coming in there, hey, I'm the third guy and I can help out here and there and I'm a threat still, but I'm going to be in this offense. I
have my doubts.
Yeah, you have your doubts. Think he's going to be mad if Stafford doesn't target him 12 times a game?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I think self-awareness is an important thing in life.
And, not sure there's much there with that guy.
Maybe. Maybe not. But, I mean, with all of this happening, and when you look at his production and how it's gone down, I mean, like, if you're his agent, you got to be like, take this opportunity, fold into the team,
yep.
Try to get a ring. It'll help you. You're not – I mean, his agent can't be sitting there saying – oh, yeah, you're going to come in there and dominate. You're, by week three of being on that team, you're the number one receiver. I mean, right?
Could have gone to be number two with McLovin out there.
Doc McLovin's?
Yeah.
Are you mad that they didn't get him?
No.
No?
No.
You kind of wanted him. You kind of were intrigued.
I was intrigued. But no, I'm not upset that he did not go to the Packers.
When he scores a winning touchdown against the Packers, we will revisit.
They do play in like 2 weeks. So it could be interesting to see what happens on that front. When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week with our called shots?
Anthony Firkser will have a touchdown. No. this is mine. Harold Landry strip sack of Stafford. I had the wrong guy. Yep. He did have half a sack. They did force a turnover with a sack by Simmons. So I was, you know, I was in the area.
You're close.
You know, we had to do a quick game preview, you know, Jordan Rodriguez and I, she covers the Rams for us, and I wrote about how the Titans' key will be playmaking Kevin Byard in their pass rush if they have any chance. I'm just saying.
All right.
Tyon Evans, 120-plus yards against Kentucky, did not happen. Byron Young, touchdown for the Vols, did not happen. You had Hendon Hooker accounting for 4 touchdowns versus Kentucky.
4 on the dot, buddy.
Boom. Look at that. You had Granlund 2 goals against Vancouver. That did not happen. A.J. Brown, a 55-yard or more touchdown on a catch and run against Jalen Ramsey. Didn't happen, but boom, you got one. Kentucky by 20 over Duke, says Michelle Perry. No. the Titans will beat the Rams the same way they did in Indy. Kevin Byard pick and Randy Bullock winning field goal. But I think you should get credit for that one because, I mean –
that changed the game.
It was the biggest play of the game. So I would advocate for you to get a green mark on the green check mark.
Robbie?
There.
Sure, we'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Bud Dupree, 2 sacks. No, but again, kind of in the same the neighborhood. And then Kentucky wins in overtime versus Tennessee 28-27 because the Vols miss a PAT. It sounded like a wonderful fantasy. Did not happen. Sorry.
It did not happen at all. So with that in mind, Michelle Knezvik, would you like to kick us off this week with your called shots for the week?
I would love to.
I'm sure you would.
First, okay, this one's quite the shot.
Okay.
The Tennessee Titans get the 1 seed, go to the Super Bowl, and Derrick Henry is back for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
We're going to have to revisit that one every single week until then.
So Titans going to the Super Bowl, and Henry's back by then.
Okay.
I'm predicting the future.
Okay.
All right. That's a shot.
Matt Duchene has a hat trick tomorrow.
That's actually one of my shots. There you go.
Oh, look at you guys. Matt Duchene on a heater playing the Coyotes.
Well, that's the thing.
It all works out.
It's more about the team they're playing against tomorrow. But yes.
Great minds think alike. Adrian Peterson has 2 touchdowns on Sunday against the Saints.
I like that.
And lastly, the Steelers hold the Lions scoreless this weekend. Is that a shot?
Wide receiver 1, Josh Reynolds coming in. Yeah, that's a shot.
I guess so. The Reynolds-Raymond combo. How are you going to hold that scoreless?
That's true. Well, yeah, we'll allow it. That works. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
Anthony Firkser will score a touchdown.
Okay. Put her on the board.
Marcus Johnson also will score a touchdown for the Titans. We talked about him earlier. He, to me, is the person of interest in this offense who needs to emerge and can and is capable of emerging.
Okay.
Taysom Hill will lose a fumble in this game.
All right.
And that's me being kind to him. The Vols will score 24 points against the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday night at Neyland Stadium. Despite wearing those ugly, stupid black uniforms.
Oh,
whatever.
Oh.
Gangorn.
You like those things?
Yeah, they're fine. I wish they had black helmets.
It's not It's GBO, Go Big Orange. What's their home uniforms are great.
My goal for Saturday is nothing more than get some recruits. That's my goal.
Okay.
I don't care what you have to do in order to do it. Wear jerseys, whatever.
And my final shot is Vanderbilt will be within one score of Kentucky at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not.
We've had similar shots.
What do you think of that
Nope.
one?
Nope.
Okay.
All righty.
I promise you will be tweeted at if it does happen.
Well, Jim Wyatt told me that Vanderbilt was going to beat us, so that's where we're at right now.
Really?
I mean, traditionally, Vanderbilt-Kentucky has been a toss-up. So,
that is true. Vanderbilt?
No.
Big rivalry, Rob.
It has not been. All right, my called shots for the week. Tennessee will score 17 against Georgia, which I believe is still a record for this season. They'll hit 17 against Georgia.
No one has gone beyond 13.
And that was Kentucky.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Has a impressive losing streak going on. The Titans will have an offensive lineman score a touchdown against the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh. Okay.
Big guy touchdown.
One that will actually count. One that's actually an intended offensive
lineman. Will be on
a
pass.
Touchdown.
They will be an eligible receiver. Titans will have an offensive lineman score a touchdown.
So you don't want to name names, huh?
I mean, come on. If a lineman scores.
I'll give it. Yeah, it's a good shot. That's a good shot.
I mean, they've got options. Lawan has a touchdown in his career. Kendall Lamb has a touchdown in his career. I don't even know if Kendall Lamb's going to play. But we'll see what happens. Maybe it's time for Quisenberry.
Well, they have those jumbo packages. Like Dylan Raiden's was coming out as like
could hand
that.
It to him.
Well, or he could be the guy. He could be the jumbo tight end who catches a pass.
Matt Duchene scores a hat trick on Saturday. As I said, that is one of my called shots. And I'll just throw an extra one in there right now. Kentucky losing to Vanderbilt at halftime.
I hate you.
Losing
to Vanderbilt at halftime.
I'm
not willing to say they'll lose the game. They're losing to Vanderbilt at halftime.
Hater.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you're going to lose to Georgia this weekend, so.
Well, there's a called shot.
Actually, I'm adding one to mine.
The number one team in the country is going to beat Tennessee. What do you think about that, Rich?
Tennessee will score less than 13 points against Georgia.
These can't all be shots. Like, if the other ones are shots, which they are. Tennessee scoring less than 13 is not a shot, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Because the best defense in the last 12 years in college football. Okay, we'll see what happens. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Cody texting in, Matt Duchene scores 35 this year, 35 goals for Matt Duchene this year.
That's a shot. As well as he started, that is a shot.
I got a texter that says Tennessee will have a lead against Georgia in the second half. By the way, the line's gone down. It's 19.5.
Okay.
So I guess some money coming in on the balls. Brandon texting in, this year Matt Duchene will break Arvey's record for most goals in a season, which is 34. So if he gets 35, that'll break it.
That's two shots that say he will do that. Look at how the people have embraced Matt Duchene.
The tide is turning on Matt Duchene.
Oh, my goodness.
Drew in Columbia, UC Soros will have a shutout against the Phoenix Coyotes.
A shot?
Well, they are the Arizona Coyotes, so it would be a shot because Phoenix no longer exists. But okay. I hear what you're saying. That's just me being difficult. Shane from Ashland City texting in my call shot. Oklahoma and Ohio State will lose. And Ohio State, he just says OSU. So is he going Ohio State University or is he going Oklahoma State?
He's going Ohio State. Right. They're playing Purdue, which just beat Michigan State. Okay. The boiler up.
All right. Well,
they know how to shock top five teams.
That'd be a heck of a weekend if Oklahoma and Ohio State lose.
Who's Oklahoma playing?
Baylor. They got a chance to lose that game.
They could definitely lose that game.
Ben texting in, three shots. Taysom Hill will recover someone else's fumble. Bullock will hit 5 of 6 field goals on Sunday, including the game winner, and the Vols winning at halftime but lose by 4 scores. So that's a heck of a turnaround in the second half.
Yeah, my goodness. So it's quite a collapse. So it's not, so it's like last year's game, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Just a redo. Brian on the text line, the Duchene train is picking up some speed. It is.
That's not a shot, but thank you for your comment.
It is. Heidi from Dixon. Shot called. Jared will keep flip-flopping from week to week. Not much of a called shot, really. Yeah, does that count?
No. That's par for the course.
Reality.
But speaking of Jared and flip-flops, how about Jared with a pedicure?
Well, maybe
so. What do you think, Heidi?
Yeah, maybe so. Marco from Nashville. My beautiful wife will still be a Titan fan after we beat the Saints coming up. So they will hold on to Marco's wife's fandom after they beat the Saints on Sunday. Here you go.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what the text says.
So is one of them a Saints fan or something?
I don't know.
We need some background information on that.
Yeah, you got to give us more information.
Canadian Titan texting in here. Bold prediction for this game. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has over 100 yards and a touchdown. That counts as a shot.
That's a shot.
Joe's wearing his button if that happens.
Yeah, I got to find that button. That would be a shot.
Mason on
YouTube. A touchdown, though. I can see that.
Mason on YouTube is now giving it to me because Vandy's won 5 of the last 9 against Tennessee.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, not a rivalry.
Oh,
the all-time series is like 90-20.
It's okay. We're just talking.
Whatever it is.
Just remember, General.
Not quite as bad as the all-time series of Tennessee-Kentucky, but it's pretty close.
General Nealand, who I think was Captain Nealand at the time, was brought in specifically to try to make Tennessee competitive against Vanderbilt.
That is true.
Who was that on the text line?
That was about 100 years ago.
That's Mason on YouTube.
Mason.
It is a rivalry, Mason. I'm with you, buddy.
I'm with you too, Mason.
It had a few bad decades for the Doors.
The tears of Kentucky fans continue to just flow through this week.
Robbie just can't accept the fact that it's a rivalry game for you too.
I got to show you guys. Speaking of the tears of a rival, I've got something that's a nice gif to show you guys.
We think there'll be any Kentucky fans tomorrow at the Vanderbilt game, or have they just totally folded the tent for football season?
That's a good question. A lot of Kentucky fans are Kentucky basketball fans, but they're Alabama football fans.
Yeah.
So when did they play?
They play against New Mexico State tomorrow. They're 51.5-point favorite. So
they probably bet on them. So they'll probably choose the Alabama game over the Kentucky football game.
Probably be my guess.
Look at Michelle Perry. Michelle Perry's not happy.
I love how Joe calls me Michelle Perry.
I mean, it's a great name.
I'm fired up back
Kentucky
here.
Kentucky basketball going to lose to Bob Morris tonight, go to 0-2 on the season. Be nice stuff. That's it. This has been Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. Then when we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Teron Davenport. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.